Hello and welcome to day 15 of our preparation for total consecration. Let's begin. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Day 15. Know your mother. Mary, your heavenly mother, knows you, and she knows you perfectly because she sees you in the beatific vision of God in heaven. She's not unaware of you, and you are very much on her mind, even at this very moment. In contemplating God, everything that concerns her as the mother of men and mediatrix of all grace is revealed by him to her. God himself shares his own knowledge with her so that nothing that her motherly heart must know about you remains hidden from her. Because your mother knows and loves you and never stops thinking of you, you must honor her by frequently thinking of her and returning her love. Now, you cannot love without knowing, and you cannot know without learning. For this reason, you cannot respond to her love for you without making efforts to learn about her. To learn about her, you must read about her in good books, hear about her in devout sermons and retreats. You must study her presence and action in the lives of the saints and in their writings. It is good to read books, especially those written by saints, and not only once, but multiple times, meditating on them over and over again. Saint Louis de Montfort himself acknowledged that he did not understand many of the things he wrote, which means that he did so under the inspiration of Our Lady. It means also that she herself will reveal hidden things to those who devoutly read what she inspired her servants to write. Saint Maximilian, moreover, never tired of repeating that the vast depths of the mystery of the Immaculate Conception still remain largely hidden and will only be revealed to those who humbly search and pray for understanding. You must remember, however, that the first and most essential thing in seeking to know the Immaculate is profound humility. Humility means you must realize who you are and who she is. You, a sinner, she, the Immaculate One, without blemish, without any sin. If you stand before her as an unworthy sinner, confident in her goodness and not in your own, only then can you hope to obtain the grace of knowing her and loving her. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. When you read about her, always remember that you're coming into contact with a living person. Lift up your mind and pray to her during your studies. Mortify your curiosity from things that only distract you and do not help you to know her. Such penance purifies the mind and heart to make them able to see and understand with greater clarity. And whenever your mind does not understand, study more, pray more, and never tire of it. Consult learned persons and devout servants of the Immaculate, but above all, turn to her with your questions and ask for enlightenment, and she herself will give you the knowledge that leads to love. Let us now turn to our daily prayers on page 81. If you can, please kneel down. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, act of adoration of the Most Holy Trinity. I adore you, our Heavenly Father, because you have deigned to place in the most pure womb of Mary your only begotten Son. I adore you, O Son of God, because you condescended to enter the womb of Mary and became truly her actual Son. I adore you, O Holy Spirit, because you deigned to form in her immaculate womb the body of the Son of God. I adore you, O Most Holy Trinity, O one God in the Holy Trinity, for having exalted the Immaculate in such a divine way. And I will never cease daily from the first moment I awake, O Divine Trinity, with my face to the ground, repeating three times, Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Antiphon of Our Lady. Holy Virgin Mary, among women there is no one like you born into the world. You are the daughter and the handmaid of the Most High and Supreme King and Father of Heaven. You are the mother of our most holy Lord, Jesus Christ. You are the spouse of the Holy Spirit. Pray for us with Saint Michael, the Archangel, and all the powers of heaven, and all the saints, to your most holy, beloved Son, our Lord and Master. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to you, and for all who do not have recourse to you, especially for the enemies of the Holy Church and those recommended to you. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, our reflection is extremely important. It is going to wrap up our series on spiritual warfare. We're going to talk about the virtue most hated by the devil, but most treasured by God. It is the secret to happiness. It is the secret to holiness. It is the foundation and the mother of all of the virtues. Saint Augustine says, if you don't have this, all the other virtues exist only as an illusion. That's the virtue of humility. Now, humility is a virtue, meaning that you have to practice it over and over and over again so that it becomes like second nature. But the problem is, most people don't understand what humility really is. So let's quickly examine that. Humility is a twofold truth. You have to know both of these in order to have humility and to practice it well. It's the truth about who I am, the good and the bad. What's the truth about me, just briefly? I'm mortal. Even though I look healthy, I could get sick at any moment. I could die. I could get into an accident at any moment. That's the reality. It might not be a pleasant one, but to not accept it is living in la-la land. The second reality about me and you, you have concupiscence. I have concupiscence. Concupiscence is a fancy word for a disordered inclination to sin. I have that, you have that. To pretend like we don't is foolishness. I have a disordered inclination to sin in three different areas of my life. The first is pride of life. I have a disordered inclination to think of myself either worse than I am, or better than I am, or think of other people as worse than they are to try to make myself feel better. I have concupiscence of the eyes. I tend to look at things and think that if I just had that item or that object, I could be happy. It's not true. I have concupiscence of the flesh. I have a disordered inclination to use sex in a disordered way. I have a disordered desire for food. I also have a deep longing in my heart, a hole in my heart that doesn't seem to be satisfied, an ache for happiness that never ends. And people, myself included, will try to fill this hole with stuff that won't fill it. That ache, just FYI, is a longing for God and for His will. But there's also good things about me. I have talents. I have skills. I have great abilities. Some people have a great family life. Some people are naturally very good at math or at music. But even these good things, if I'm honest, they're gifts from God. I was born into an amazing country, into an amazing city with a great mother who took care of me. That all of these blessings in my life are gifts from God. I have talents for speaking and for communication. And if I'm honest, if I don't have the grace of God, I might misuse those talents for some other purpose or for some selfish purpose. So the truth about myself, if I'm being honest, I should kind of have a healthy distrust of myself. I know that I'm good, I'm pretty good, but I can be bad and I really should not trust myself. And without the grace of God, I'm cooked. And the last thing about myself is I have sinned mortally and God has forgiven me. And in a way, I am indebted to Him for all of eternity for having rescued me. And I love Him and I want to return the favor of my life to Him for His life for me. That's the truth about who I am. The truth about God, extraordinarily important. The truth about God should fill me with confidence. I have a God that loves me. I have a God that is all powerful. I have a God that is all knowing. I have a God that is all present. I have a God who loves me like a father. He says, the lilies of the field are clothed. The birds of the air have food. How much am I going to clothe you and feed you? I have all of these assurances and promises. And then he proves his love to me by dying on the cross and suffering the worst torments for the forgiveness of my sins before I was even born. And then on top of that, he gives me the sacrament of confession. He gives me the sacrament of his real presence in the Most Holy Eucharist. He gives me his mother. All of these things should fill me with extraordinary confidence. So how does the devil attack me in my pride and in my humility? Well, he attacks one of these two aspects of the truth, either the truth of who I am or the truth of who God is. So the truth of who I am a failure. I do sin. I am not good enough, established. But in previous videos, I mentioned that that's one of the lies, that's one of the tales that the devil tells me. Why is it a lie if it's true? It stings when I hear that voice saying, you're not good enough, Gabe, you can't do this. Oh, you're right, I can't. But that's because it's true, but it's not the full truth. It's a half truth. Because when I look at the full truth, it's very liberating. I've got all these burdens. I've got all these responsibilities. Lord, I can't do this. You're right, you can't. But guess what? You don't have to do it alone. God gave us the Holy Spirit, and God is my strength, and God is my inspiration, and God is my Savior, and he's my wonderful counselor, and I can go to him, and he will strengthen me, and I will surrender. And when I surrender these various aspects of my life, he takes over, and he does what I cannot do. That's the whole purpose of the incarnation, that I need God, and I need his grace. So when I have the devil whispering to me, you're not good enough, you're worthless, you're a sinner, amen. Thanks be to God. Jesus loves me. God help me, rescue me. That's what you do. Blessed Mother, never was it known that anybody who fled to you was left unaided. Confidence, confidence, confidence. The second way that the devil attacks us is far more dangerous and subtle. And that's when I think I'm too good. I'm too good. I don't need to pray. And that's what happens when I don't pray. On days that I skip prayer, when I say, my day is so busy, I've got so many important things to do, I don't have time to pray. I'll give you an analogy. My grandmother, when she was getting older, she had to do a breathing treatment in the morning and in the evening. She could not do anything before she did her breathing treatment. Well, all the saints tell us, and it's true, prayer is like oxygen for the soul. Without oxygen in the soul, without prayer, I cannot live. And only a proud person thinks, well, today's too important. I don't have time to pray. No, no. If I'm looking at this with true humility, I'm going to ruin my plans for the day. If I want the help of God and I need the help of God because I have a healthy distrust of myself, I must pray. Lord, I need you. I pray as if everything depended upon you, Lord, and I act as if everything depended upon me. So in the morning, I say, I have a busy day today. Lord, help me to do your will in this. You have a plan for this. If I do your will, everything will work according to your plan. Your grace is going to flow. Divine providence is going to work. So those are the two ways that we get attacked. And Our Lady teaches us, when I'm in a circumstance, when God asks me to do something that seems like it's impossible, like seems like it might be foolish and absurd, what does Our Lady teach us? I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to thy word. When a tragedy strikes and it looks like the world is collapsing around me, what does Our Lady teach us? Trust in God. He's our Savior. He has heard the pleas of the lowly. Trust in God. Having humility brings us great peace when we feel like we're being overwhelmed by our surroundings, but it also brings us great peace when tragedy strikes, and tragedy strikes everybody, because it helps me to see clearly what's really happening. Now, it's important that we practice the virtue of humility. It means that I have to do things over and over again so that humility becomes like second nature. So I'm going to give you just four habits. There's many other habits you can try, but these four habits I find are very effective. So the first one, the phrase, but for the grace of God, there go I. Whenever my heart is not where it should be, and I see somebody else going through some sort of sin or some situation where I want to judge them, I say, but for the grace of God, there go I. There was a great saint. His name was Saint Philip Neri. He was walking through the streets of Rome. At the same time, there was a murderer being led to his execution. All of a sudden, St. Philip begins to cry. The people nearby said, "Philip, why are you crying?" And he said, "Because if it wasn't for God's grace, I would be that man." And so this provides for us an extraordinary example of the virtue of humility. We are not better than anybody. To think of other people and giving other people the benefit of the doubt and saying, "Well, I don't know what cards he was dealt in life. I don't know what graces God did or did not give him. I can't judge him. If I was in his circumstance, I don't know what I would have done. Maybe I would have been an even worse person." And this frees us to love. This frees us to have compassion and to have mercy when we see another person fall into sin. Because I know from my own experience, I have fallen, and therefore I could fall again. If you find yourself caught in some sort of an addiction or some sort of vice, I want to give you a word of consolation before I give you the other three points. I have found that those who are really struggling with a vice, with an addiction especially, those are the ones who succeed in their total consecration to Mary and living it on a daily basis, because they get to the point in their life where they say, "I can't do this anymore. I'm a failure." Oh my gosh, this is such a beautiful thing for the Lord to hear. "I can't do this, Lord. Please help me. I will do anything. You want me to dedicate my life to prayer? I'll do it. I'll do it." And then these people get on a program of prayer, of a strict regimen of morning, noon, and evening prayers. They live a life of total consecration, and they never fall back, because they know if they stop their prayers, they're going to hit that pit again, and it's going to be worse than the first time, and seven more demons will enter in where there was only one. So if you're in that circumstance and you feel hopeless, you feel lost, you feel like, "Man, I am an addict and there's no way out of this," there is a way out. And our Lord sometimes allows these humiliations so that we can get to a point in our life where we say, "God, I need you. Blessed Mother, I'll do anything. Help me." And they never, never fail. I promise, persevere. The second thing that you can do to help you build the virtue of humility is ask for it. On a daily basis, you can just say this 1 5-second prayer. "Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine." You ask for it and you will receive it. You think about it on a daily basis. Even this short 5 to 6 second prayer serves as a kind of an examination of conscience, very helpful on a daily basis. The third tip we're going to get into in detail in another day's reflection, but just briefly, making a visit to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, getting on your knees before Jesus in the Most Holy Eucharist. This helps our twofold truth. How? By getting on my knees before God, I recognize I am a creature. I am indebted to God, my Creator. I love Him and He loves me, and sometimes I forget that. And by being on my knees, it puts me physically in a place of submission, saying, "You're greater than me. What is your idea? I'll do whatever you want." It takes a couple minutes to get into the presence of God, to really become aware of who you're before. But then the second aspect, you're before the King of Kings, the Creator of the entire world, and He loves you so much that He's hidden in a little white host. St. Francis of Assisi used to say, "O humble sublimity and sublime humility, that the God of the universe would hide Himself here in the humble disguise of a little white host." You are in the presence of humility itself, and His grace washes over you. It's going to increase your humility. The more frequently you visit Jesus, St. John Bosco said, it'll make an ordinary man into a saint. And fourth, and finally, one that we're really going to hammer home, and that's the rosary. The rosary is the key that unlocks every door, and it certainly unlocks the door of humility. By praying 50 times in one rosary, saying, "Pray for us sinners, pray for us sinners, pray for us sinners, pray for us sinners, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death." It does two things. It reminds me that I'm going to die, and it reminds me I'm a sinner. I might look holy, I might play the part, I might do the church thing, but at the end of the day, I still sin, and I'm still in the need of the mercy of God. So a healthy distrust of self. It balances it out by, one, reminding me that I have a mother. Two, never was it known that she ever left anybody unaided. But then by going through the entire life of Christ through the mysteries of the rosary, how much does God love me? He loves me so much He became a baby. How much does God love me? He loves me so much, He instituted the sacraments. How much does God love me? He went to the cross for me and died a miserable death. How much does God love me? He rose again on the third day. How much does God love me? He sent down the power of the Holy Spirit and He gave me as my mother, the Queen of Heaven and Earth. When you consecrate yourself to the Virgin Mary, you will still suffer humiliations. Our Lady is a good mother, and you will find that she will give you little humiliations in secret. She will humble you in secret in ways that strike your heart, but later you will realize, wow, I'm so thankful that Our Lady allowed me to be in this really tough situation, or that Our Lady allowed me to be humbled in this subtle and hidden way, because that really preserved me from a much greater sin, from a greater sin of scandal or a greater sin of pride. Give yourself to the Virgin Mary. Cling to the Virgin Mary like a baby in her arms, because remember, the Lord has hidden these things from the wise, but revealed them to the childlike. God bless you, God love you, and we will see you tomorrow.